Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 511. Science Faction, your weekly corona update. The numbers stand as follows for today, November 15th, 2020. Worldwide infected, 53.37 million. U.S. infected, 11.226 million. Worldwide deaths, 1.32 million. U.S. deaths, 251,000. Also, a side note, interesting stat I was looking at today, in terms of active cases, meaning cases of people who got infected and are not yet over it, it turns out that that's the one where the United States really, quote-unquote, shines. We have over 4 million active cases, which is way more than double the next highest up. The next highest active case number is in France with 1.7 million, and then Italy with 688,000. So basically, nobody is close. Like, you have to add like the next 5 countries up to get the amount of active cases that are in the US, because we are having a crazy explosion right now with an average of like 130,000 new infections every single day. It's crazy. What's going on in the United States right now is crazy. And unlike previous waves, this seems to be going on a lot in rural areas, places like North Dakota, where 1 out of every 14 people have contracted the virus. It's really, really nuts what's going on in the United States right now. And those people who are outside the US, super fan Dwayne in New Zealand, and a lot of you guys I've been talking to in Australia and other places, are probably just looking going, what in the world is going on in that batshit crazy country of yours? And to answer, we don't fucking know. We got a lot of dumb people and we give them too many Twitter accounts. That's the only thing I can think of. But yes, it is crazy right now. In terms of active cases, the United States is basically the problem and it's just getting worse. However, today we're not necessarily going to talk about those, because today is an all vaccine episode of Science Faction's Corona Update. Now, the big news, that Pfizer BioNTech vaccine news that just came out, unfortunately, it came out like literally the morning after I released the last coronavirus podcast. I almost had to do an update, but I figured, no, we'll just touch on it next time. We'll talk about it. We'll have some more info by then. I'm glad we did, because there is a lot more info now. So let's talk about it. So article number one, the Pfizer results. This is a joint project by Pfizer and a company called BioNTech. This is the results of their phase 3 clinical trials, and it is amazing. It is better than we could have anticipated, and it was so good it actually shot the US stock market up the day after it was announced. So what exactly are these amazing results? The results showed the vaccine was 90% effective, which is much higher than the 50% effectiveness that the CDC says is the minimum bar for having an effective coronavirus vaccine. So it's a really, really good effectiveness number. So what exactly does that mean? How do they gauge the effectiveness of a vaccine like this? Well, it's actually kind of interesting. So they have a sample group, about 42,000 people. Half that sample group receives the vaccine and half receives a placebo control. They then monitor the entire group and test them frequently to see who gets sick. They then compare how many people got sick from the control group versus the vaccine group. And that ratio, if they did their randomization correctly, should tell them how effective the vaccine is. In this case, the vast majority of those who contracted the virus during the study, there were 94 that contracted it, 86 of those 94 were in the control group, suggesting that the vaccine is 90% effective. Again, if you imagine that both of those groups should have caught the virus at the same rates, and therefore it should have been out of those 94 people, you know, you should have had about 47 around there. The fact that it is 86-8, you know, indicates that this is a 90% effective vaccine. Very, very good news. In addition, it not only showed 90% effectiveness, which is much higher than we would have thought, it also passed safety tests with flying colors in terms of adverse effects that the vaccine might have. It also passed safety tests with flying colors with no serious adverse effects, and all the adverse effects that were seen were basically the ones that we would typically see in a seasonal flu vaccine, you know, a little bit of redness, swelling, maybe some fever, that kind of thing, but nothing big. That's amazing news. And it gets even more amazing because of what type of vaccine this is. This is a first of its kind vaccine. We have never before had what is called an mRNA vaccine. This specific one is an mRNA two-part vaccine. What that means is you get one shot, and then 3 weeks later, you get a second shot. There is a downside to that, which is, you know, a lot of times we have people who don't then get the second shot, and they don't have the full protection, blah, 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 blah. But let's talk about what an mRNA vaccine is and why this is so cool. So mRNA is messenger RNA. You guys who have done any kind of cell biology or anything like that, you might know this term RNA, right? So basically everything outside of viruses and stuff basically uses DNA as their blueprint, so to speak, and then it gets translated to RNA, which then goes to the cell machinery to create the actual proteins. And again, proteins are what do things. Proteins build the structures, proteins carry out the actions, proteins are what do things. So these are the instructions on how to build those proteins, usually through ribosomes. So this mRNA, this messenger RNA vaccine, this is something we've never done before as a vaccine. We've wanted to, it's been a goal for a long time, and we're about to talk about why. But what this does is, instead of using a protein-based vaccine, where basically we put a protein in your body, and that protein resembles the virus or bacterial or invading whatever, and then your immune system learns to attack that protein, instead, we put some messenger RNA in your body. Your body then takes that messenger RNA, puts it through the cell machinery, and then produces proteins out of it, and then your immune system produces antibodies to those proteins. It might seem kind of roundabout, where you might be like, why don't we just do the proteins? Well, it takes a long time to produce those proteins for protein-based vaccines, which is why things like the flu vaccine, the seasonal flu vaccine, take for a long time to produce. But we can produce mRNA really fast. Because of that and things like PCR that allow us to produce things very fast, we can make a lot of this vaccine very, very fast. Very quickly. We could also change it very, very quickly. If, for instance, the virus mutates, that's really important. And for something like this, that it's so important to have a fast rollout, that makes this type of vaccine really, really attractive. Again, this is the first time an mRNA vaccine has been, or I guess hasn't yet, but might soon be approved. And if it does get approved, this would be really neat because we can make a whole bunch of it really fast. Right now, the estimates are that if it gets approved by the FDA for emergency use, which is only after 2 months of human trials, that would end around the end of November. So, you know, we could see the rollout. They think they could have somewhere about 50 to 60 million doses out by the end of 2020, which again, two doses per person. So, you know, that anywhere from 20 to 40 million, depending on how many they can do, people. And then another like 1.3 billion by the end of 2021. That would be fantastic. Keep in mind, there are other vaccines in development. So, you know, we would be looking at hundreds of millions of people by the end of 2021 with this vaccine alone. And then the other ones that are about to finish phase three, they might also have their ability to produce things very quickly. And, you know, this is very, very, very promising. And it's especially important because while social distancing and masks and avoiding indoor areas with people outside your bubble are all crucial to preventing the spread, a vaccine is the necessary final chapter we need to end this epidemic. We need an effective vaccine to stop the spread and return to normal. So this idea that we could actually start rolling this out to needed healthcare workers or something by the end of this year, which is only in like a month and a half, and then have it out to the majority of Americans before the end of 2021 is fantastic. Keep in mind, especially, you might think, well, wow, the end of 2021 sounds like a long time away. Yeah, but that would be the tail end of people getting it. Keep in mind, every person who gets it becomes a block in the chain of transmission and then keeps this from being able to spread. So if 90 some odd percent of the people around you have a vaccine or are otherwise immune to this disease, then you are pretty good and well set at that you will likely not get it, or it'll be much less likely for you to, even if you yourself are not vaccinated, because it's just hard for it to spread. It's like a wildfire in the desert, you know? If there's nothing but cactus out there and there's nothing for it to burn, then there's no way for that wildfire to transfer. Very exciting stuff. Now, a few issues you should be aware of. This is in preprint. It's not yet peer-reviewed, but it's kind of a technicality because at a study of this magnitude with this many eyes on it, it's very unlikely to change because of like some kind of mistake or mathematical error or something like this. Like outside of direct fraud, which you probably wouldn't want to do on something this with this many eyes on it, this is unlikely to change. So the preprint part is something to note, but not necessarily something we expect to be a real issue. Second thing, we brought this up before, this is a two-part vaccine, and it's notoriously difficult to get people to show up twice to a vaccination a set time apart. So there are absolutely going to be some non-zero number of people who get the first shot but not the second. Who knows what the effectiveness is at that point, but it's certainly going to be much lower. Or maybe they get the second instead of getting it 3 weeks later, they mess up and they don't get it till 3 months later. Then again, who knows what the effectiveness is at that point. So those are some confounding issues we should be aware of. A really big one that you might hear is what we call the cold supply chain. This vaccine, because it's an mRNA vaccine, requires an incredibly cold chain, colder than any of the other ones. Right now, some of the coldest cold chain distribution vaccines require something like negative 50 Fahrenheit or something like that, which is very cold, you know, colder than your fridge at home is going to go. But we're kind of prepared for that kind of stuff. This requires negative like 94 Fahrenheit, I think negative 80 Celsius. That is incredibly cold. That means that we, one, are talking first world distribution only. Number two, even in first world areas, that type of cold chain is not very common. In fact, it doesn't really exist right now because we don't do that. But, you know, it's not infeasible. It's not a speed bump we can't get over, but that is an issue because there's only so many places that will be able to accommodate that type of cold chain. And other than that, we might have these vaccines go bad. They're just sitting around someplace, you know, in their non-cold chain, because once they get out of transfer, they can stay for a few days in like regular freezer temperatures, but then they go bad. So we might have to well overproduce this vaccine in order just to get the right amount to people. Also, something to consider is that even though we don't have any reports of serious side effects in the 20,000 plus people who have taken it, because remember, 40 some odd thousand in the group, half of them are control, that may change as we get a larger sample size. We wouldn't expect it to change dramatically because that N number is still pretty big, 21,000 or so. But there are some rare complications and some complications that could possibly, again, this is rare too, arise further down the road. So let's say we have almost no serious side effects in these 21,000 people now, but they didn't get the vaccine that long ago. What if it takes 6 or 8 months to develop, you know, serious negative side effects? Then, you know, this might be something where there could be serious side effects down the road. Again, that's not very common. There's no reason to think that would be the case, but it's something that we should be aware of. That's amazing news. Some of the happiest news I've gotten to bring you during these corona updates, and I hope I get to bring you more of that. Let's go on to article number two, Russia be trippin'. So this comes out of the publication Science. We talked about the Russian vaccine before. They call it Sputnik V. They've already been distributing it around their population. It's also a two-part vaccine, but it's not mRNA like the Pfizer one. This is one where they essentially take a harmless virus, an adenovirus, and they throw a spike protein from SARS-CoV-2 on the surface, and they infect it with you to train your immune system to seek and destroy that spike protein. They then take a separate adenovirus, throw that spike protein on there, and that's the second part of the vaccine. The reason there's two of them is, if you imagine your body could see that spike protein, but it could also see other parts of the adenovirus and learn to attack that. By using two different versions of that virus, the only commonality between the two should be the spike protein. So then the one thing your body learns to really go after is the spike protein. That's why it's a two-part vaccine. So, well, 2 days after Pfizer's announcement of their 90% effectiveness, Russia announced that Sputnik V was 92% effective, a number that essentially all legitimate epidemiologists who aren't afraid of being immediately murdered by Putin scoffed at. They were like, I think you just took our 90% and added 2%. I think that's what you did. Because their trials are not nearly big enough. They haven't even published any real good clinical research. It doesn't seem like these type of vaccines would be that effective. We're getting unusual effectiveness out of the mRNA vaccine. All of that stuff, including the fact that the numbers they do release or did release shows much smaller groups than the Pfizer study. And they hadn't yet reached a number of COVID infections that you would be able to tell what the effectiveness is yet. So all of it just seems basically made up. But something else to think about is these adenoviruses, the ones that you're using, this isn't a new idea. They were actually part of a attempted HIV vaccine about 13 years ago. They were the delivery system that they were going to use to do an HIV vaccine, and it actually had horrible results where, in what has to be one of the saddest twists of irony, more people in the vaccine group ended up contracting HIV than in the placebo group. So it actually ended up making the vaccine, quote unquote, ended up making people more likely to get HIV, which, again, with something like HIV, gosh, that's horrible. And they thought, I think this is because of these adenoviruses that we're using. And so there's an idea that this would not necessarily be a great way to go. And unlike the mRNA, there are actually a lot of potential downsides to one of these type of vaccines. So I don't know, don't get your vaccine from Russia, I guess. Yeah, just wait till the Pfizer one comes out. And lastly, something we covered before, which I found very interesting when we covered it. We talked about this, about how the virus originally left China, went into places like Iran and Italy and stuff, spread through Europe, Europe, spread through North America. But then sometime in Europe, in some place, we don't know exactly where, there was a mutation that led to a strain of SARS-CoV-2 that was much more infectious than the strain that had originally come out of China. Much more infectious, maybe even 10 times more infectious. Now, it didn't seem to be any deadlier. It wasn't like it was killing more people. It just seemed like it was much more infectious. It was much more likely to infect somebody. That strain then spread around the world, so much so that it almost completely wiped out the existence of the first strain, because this one was so much better at infecting people. And now this is the strain that is essentially worldwide. It came around sometime in the late spring, early summer, and has since taken over. It was the Beatles of COVID. Well, we finally found out what exactly it was, like what mutation happened that made this particular variant so much more infectious. And it turns out it was a little flap that was on the end of that spike protein. This mutation caused a little flap on the end of that spike protein, and that little flap allowed it to bind much more solidly to the cells of our body. So it was much more infectious. That was the bad side. The good side is, researchers looking at this think, wow, that little flap, the one that makes it, you know, so much more infectious, it actually might make the vaccines much more effective as well. Because that same thing that where it binds to our cells, that same flap will help it bind to the antibodies in our own immune system and neutralize it. And so the thing that made it so popular may be the cause of its downfall, you know, like Kanye West being crazy, that making him a good musical artist, but also making him like spend millions of dollars on domes and Calabasas that he has to tear down. That thing that was making it so effective might also be the downfall, which is great news as well. Anyway, I hope you guys liked this episode. I was so happy to be able to write and record and post it because goddamn does it feel great to bring us some good news. And that news about that Pfizer release is just all good news. It was more effective than we thought. We'll be able to distribute it more quickly than we thought because of the type of vaccine. Everything about it is just fantastic news. I'm so excited to be able to bring you guys this news. And I hope that next week we get even more good news. But all of that plus a 90% effectiveness, this really is one of those light at the end of the tunnels when we all need it most. In the interim, it is still incredibly important that you socially distance, use masks, make sure you're not being in close contact with people you're not related to, especially in places indoors. I know as temperatures in the Northern Hemisphere go down, more and more you are going to be pressured indoors. Wear an extra parka and hang out outside with a mask on. Just do what you can to not be a rung in this infection. Do not transfer it on to other people and hopefully don't get it yourself, because remember, even if you survive, there's lots of evidence that there's long-term organ damage for some people who get this. So please, 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 please keep yourself safe. We see the light at the end of that tunnel. That vaccine is coming out. We will have access to it this time next year. I think coronavirus, at least in much of the United States and Western Europe and other places that have cold chain transfer systems, will essentially be a really bad memory. Also, probably like Kanye West. Regardless, thank you so much for joining us for Science Faction 511, where you learned all about the new Pfizer vaccine, the old Russian vaccine, and how a mutation that made this virus spread more easily may also be its downfall. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back later this week for Science Faction 512.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.